Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Jason William Karff, is an author, a speaker, a college instructor, and a marketing fundraising professional. He brings a Christian perspective to marketing and communication through his blogging and nonfiction writings. Jason puts Jesus first in his science fiction novels. He is the author of Brimstone One and The Deliverer, the award-nominated novelette Basilica Obscura, and the instructional book Brimstone One Study Guide and Developing Christian Marketing Plan. He teaches for Christian universities across the country. Good morning, Jason. Welcome back to Step Into the Light.
Wonderful to be here, Patty.
Well, good morning. It's good to have you back, Jason. It's been, you know, I looked it up. It's been about 2 years since you were last on the show. And I...
Amazing.
Yes, and I reviewed my notes. And the last time we concentrated quite a bit on your marketing skills and what you had to offer in that realm. So today we're going to have some fun talking about your writing and about your Christian walk and how the two of them come together. So tell us, were you raised in a Christian home or did you become a believer later on in life?
Well, my mother was Christian and she's with Jesus now. She told me about Jesus. But my upbringing was pretty secular. There was time spent at church, but again, it was not dominant. I became a believer and declared Jesus Lord and Savior when I was 43, and that was because I got engaged to my wife Annie, who is a lifelong believer, and she brought me to the Lord.
Oh, that's neat. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Jason.
Well, it's my pleasure. And it's just for everyone out there saying God is ready. And at any time in your life, you can become a believer and follow his way and watch things change.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. You can become a believer at a very young age, or it can take many years before you finally declare the Lord as your Savior, but he loves you throughout the whole journey. So that's so true. I know that you grew up in the entertainment industry. You and I have talked about this quite a bit. You did some screenwriting and some child acting, but then you left the industry. What led you back into writing?
I used my writing skills to build a career outside of the entertainment industry. And this is when I was a real estate agent in the 90s and discovered how much I loved marketing and PR, and that my previous experience applied directly to these activities. And I became a full-on marketing and PR professional. Oh, about a quarter century ago now. Oh, boy. You talk about it being 2 years since I've been on your show. Boy, we can really look back. But in the course of this, it came upon my heart that I wanted to write and speak for the Lord. And I'd been teaching at Christian schools for several years by the time this happened, and was close to God in a variety of professional pursuits, but I wanted to bring it back full circle. Thought what I was going to write. First books I published were textbooks, a logical progression from my teaching. And then I wanted to take a step further and go back to fiction, which had been my first form of writing.
I have to laugh when you say that you love marketing, because many of the writers' groups I'm in, that's one of the first things we gripe about is, I love the writing, but I hate having to market this thing. So but I think you and I talked about that quite extensively in the last show, Jason. So I'm going to have to remember to tap into your skills.
My pleasure, Patty. And I'm going to repeat what I always tell my fellow authors. If you can tell a story, you can market. I am always, always available to expand on that and help encourage authors that they're better at marketing than they realize, and how much it is a natural extension of the storytelling they are already doing.
I suppose there is truth to that, Jason. It just seems to me, I think a lot of us, me, I'll speak for myself only at this point, I have a very difficult time promoting myself. Because to me, it's kind of like you're saying, hey, look at me, everybody. And I'm not real good at that.
Well, you do that only to help your readers reach a new place. It's for their benefit. But
yes,
oh, absolutely. don't, Patty, don't get me started. But wonderful opportunities there.
Well, we will have to pursue this discussion at a later date. Because I could use some advice. Well, Jason, you are a Christian science fiction author. How do you see Christianity and science fiction complementing each other?
This was the great realization that drove my ministry that I rejoice in today. It came to me this way. First of all, seeing how many Christians love science fiction.
Yes.
You go to church and folks of variety of ages are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which, of course, is full of future tech, aliens, and fantastical stories. Talking about Star Wars, which has become a canon, a saga beyond the original movies. And we're talking about Christians young and old. Yes, I'll say old because I know what camp I'm in. So I'm not not calling anyone names that I don't qualify for myself. Seeing this love of sci-fi among Christians made me realize that the two are already going together. And then it became very apparent that scripture and sci-fi teach the same lesson. And that is, playing God leads to trouble. When you bring that out, people who will be there scratching their heads going, Christianity, sci-fi, and it's understandable. At first glance, you think, well, how are you putting those two together? But then as we talk about it, and we read and enjoy and think, it becomes clear.
And that makes sense, Jason. And I think the thing about sci-fi, for me anyway, I'm not a huge sci-fi fan. I am to a degree. I used to love Star Trek, the original Star Trek. I never could really get into the Star Wars movies as much as other people have. I still love to watch The Twilight Zone every once in a while. It's not a must-see, but I do have a TV channel that plays Twilight Zone every evening, and every once in a while, if I'm up that late and happen to turn the TV on, and I'll get into the story. But I can understand, because both sci-fi and Christianity are kind of a little bit beyond the realm of our understanding today.
Do we
look at and say, I just don't understand how God could have done this? Well, of course we can't, because we are the finite trying to understand the infinite. I don't know how many times I've said that on this show. But and sci-fi is almost that way, too. What, 100 years ago, nobody would have comprehended what we were talking about when we talked about a computer. And we used to laugh about the fact that someday you'd be able to pick up your phone and see the person you're talking to. When we were kids, we used to laugh about that and say, well, that would be fun, but
sure,
it'll never happen. Well, look at us today. I FaceTime with my family all the time.
Everything you're saying, absolutely. That, and those of us of a certain age, I'm about to turn 61, and watched the Jetsons in the 1960s and chuckled over all their future predictions, how many have come true, including that famous video phone. The 1964 World's Fair had prototype video phones. But sure enough, I talked to my grandson. Annie and I talked to Mason all the time, video phone, and he knows nothing else. There is that sense of wonder. And you bring up, 100 years ago, what people were thinking and not thinking. The roots of science fiction going back far more than that, into the 19th century, is over 200 years ago, the first, often considered the earliest, and certainly one of the earliest examples, the original novel of Frankenstein. And then later in the century, the writings of Jules Verne.
Yes.
And sci-fi and this sense of wonder and how we can divine, I use that term very deliberately, mysteries, has been with us for quite some time.
Yes, it's very fascinating. Both subjects are very fascinating. And to see a person be able to intertwine the two is really phenomenal. So that's probably why you're successful with your work. So tell us about your most recent sci-fi novel, The Deliverer. Tell us as much as you want to tell us without giving the whole story away so that we can encourage readers to purchase it.
I will be happy to. The Deliverer is Christian sci-fi. It is a dystopian tale of the near future, and that being a very popular subset of sci-fi, where the future is not rosy and by any means. It involves a disintegration of life rights, and The Deliverer takes that path. The primary action takes place in the year 2038. America has been torn apart by Civil War II. There are three primary Americas and some smaller states, countries that have arisen, and the whole area now known as Greater America. And the war simmers on. But we've got to keep people distracted and entertained. And, of course, that goes back to the Roman Colosseum. The most popular TV show, and by TV I mean streaming 24/7, is called Delivery, Dead or Alive. You see, delivery drivers, like we know from Amazon and UPS, are now engaged in blood sport. They're armed. The porch pirates that we know about stealing packages from our front steps these days are armed, and they battle on the roads in vehicles bristling with video cameras, and the whole thing is streamed for a very decadent form of entertainment. Rich people will order those wonderful packages, those brown boxes that we love to see outside the step, like Santa has come at any time during the year. Even though everyone, and certainly people of means, have 3D printers in their homes that can whip up most any product that they need, they still like the thrill of the box and the added thrill that people die to get that box to your house. Now, this sounds very decadent, and it is. America has been pulled apart. One nation under God no longer exists. But in the midst of all this, we do have a Christian hero. The Deliverer. His name is Bren Van Allen. His nickname is The Deliverer. He is the top delivery driver. He has a stardom like we see in social media influencers and wrestlers and athletes, rock stars today. He is an evangelist. He uses his celebrity and his free time to share the gospel. A lot of people love him. A lot of people hate him. And this is how he exists in the midst of this America torn apart, this dystopian society. And that is the premise of The Deliverer.
You summed it up very well, Jason. I just finished reading it here recently. And there's definitely a lot of action in that book. So for readers who love to turn the pages and see what's going to happen next, this is the book for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Most sci-fi novels, in my opinion anyway, this may not be true because I haven't read that many of them, but it seems to be that most sci-fi novels take place farther into the future. Like I would expect to be reading a book in, say, 2088 instead of 2038, because 2038 is like right around the corner almost. Your story is set very close into the 15 years. Isn't that far away? Especially as I get older, the years go by faster. So can you see the world you portray in this Deliverer becoming a reality within that time frame?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, point by point, my book takes an extreme view of a dystopian America, and that's in the name of storytelling. But forces tearing our country apart, the interest, to put it mildly, some might say addiction, and to digital entertainment at all costs, hatred. I wrote The Deliverer based on the things that we're seeing in society today. And much of science fiction trades in that. You talked about The Twilight Zone, my favorite TV show, along with original Star Trek, which my mom, who I mentioned earlier, used to watch with me. I was a little boy, and I saw it first run. But The Twilight Zone, in particular, looked at a lot of what-ifs and things yes. happening just around the corner, and provided cautionary tales. And I very much, Rod Serling is one of my heroes, I very much use that spirit in The Deliverer.
Well, I could see some parallels when I was reading the book of what's going on today in the world, and I thought, wow, you know, you really took some of this country's angst today and put it into that story. So I thought I would just ask you that question and say, how soon do you think we're looking at this? Because maybe not this particular thing, but I mean, and then another thing that ran through my mind, and I'm not a fan of them because I just don't play them well, but the people that are into the video gaming would just, you know, eat this book up. They would just love it.
Well, you all heard that, folks. If that describes you, you know what to do.
Absolutely. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author, speaker, college teacher, and marketing and fundraising professional, Jason William Carr, author of the sci-fi novel, The Deliverer. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at PattySheen.com, that's spelled PattySheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. Well, the novel is full of technical and scientific jargon relating to weaponry and modes of transportation and computer technology and, oh my goodness, so much more. How much of this technology that you portray in this story is based on fact?
I'm glad you asked that, Patty, because that is really at the heart of my style of writing. My particular form of science fiction is known as hard sci-fi. And that's a specific subcategory that emphasizes technical detail and scientific realism. And that's the type that I like and that I write. And in the back of the book, there's an addendum that talks about how America became Greater America, talks about the weapons and vehicles and technologies used. The landmark sci-fi novel Dune has a similar section in it, and so if Dune can have an explanation section, I thought, well, why don't I do the same? And
great.
You will see in that section, I list my major subject matter experts, and they come from backgrounds in the military and engineering. And I've got a wonderful group of consultants slash friends that I run ideas past, and they give me ideas. That way I'm able to strive for that level of detail and accuracy. And again, it's the hard sci-fi approach. If you're listening and you know that term, then you already know what I'm talking about. And they're just particular readers who love that sort of science fiction, and I'm one of them. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I go about it. But I really do strive for scientific accuracy. I'm a voracious news reader, and in particular, stories about science, tech, space travel, military. And I'm coming across stories, news stories every day that spark an idea. I file them away both in my brain and on my device for future
mm-hmm.
use.
Well, you sure did a good job, because the whole time I was reading this, I thought, wow, is this stuff real? And then I was reading this. I didn't get to read entirely through, but I did see where you had listed the people in the different fields that you had consulted. And I thought, gee, you know, this author has really done an excellent job with his research.
I appreciate it.
I just have no concept of a lot of this stuff. So,
folks don't. You know, you don't have to be a scientist or an engineer to enjoy one of my books. But I want my readers to know what goes into it, and I think a lot of folks find that interesting in itself. So I appreciate that. But I personally think the best science fiction, certainly the types of the works I like, are based on current and proposed technology.
Yes. Jason, you have a ministry. I believe this is a ministry. It's called Christian Sci-Fi Night with Professor K. Tell us about that.
Oh, this is the living out of how I've chosen to serve the Lord. Christian Sci-Fi Night with Professor K. Yes, spoiler alert, I'm Professor K.
Never would have guessed.
yeah, there you go. Let's get that taken care of. It is a live watch party. It's like a Bible study or life group. We get together and we watch classic and current science fiction. You talk, again, The Twilight Zone. I teach a lot from The Twilight Zone, the classic Ooh. Episodes that aired in the original series from 1959 to 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And I also teach from current science fiction, like The Mandalorian. And like so many people, I can't wait for season 3. So we watch it. And then we discuss what we have seen from a Christian worldview, looking at particular scripture, having the people who are part of the event, the audience, come up with scripture themselves that they think apply, and talking about Christian themes and the actions of the characters we've just seen. It is a marvelous way to connect Christianity and science fiction, as we've been talking about in our time together today. And people come away from it really seeing things differently. And it means enjoy science fiction. If you're into it, keep doing it. Think about it from a Christian point of view. God is everywhere, and God is always teaching us. And so it just gives us a new way to enjoy classic sci-fi, today's sci-fi, and grow closer in the Lord as we are enjoying ourselves. See, I got this funny idea that we can be joyful as Christians and enjoy coming together.
Yes.
Like, okay, everyone, let's get all glum and talk about how bad we've been. And, yeah, you know, these stereotypes of the Christian life, which unfortunately I think exist among believers too.
It does.
And so just want to have that joy. And that's what Christian Sci-Fi Night with Professor K is all about.
And Jason, listening to you, to me, that has to be God-ordained. I mean, how many people would come up with that idea? You know, I really think that has to be something that the Lord has assigned to you, if you will. To, hey, I gave you this love of sci-fi. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're dedicated to the Lord, and let's do this. And I think it sounds really, really neat. Now, how do you do it? Do you do it like on a Zoom, or how do you get together?
This I do live in the Twin Cities area. Looking to expand and ways of doing it online as well. I do Christian Sci-Fi Night at churches, at Christian schools, and just any place where there is an opportunity to get together. We can do it in your living room. We can do it in an auditorium in front of 1,000 people. And so the scalability, to use that that popular word, is there, and it's all about coming together for Jesus and having a wonderful time doing it.
To me, that is just such an out-of-the-box way of thinking, Jason. I think that's just wonderful. We talk about ways to spread the gospel, and boy, you have sure found a way that is not your conventional. So it just sounds like a wonderful concept, and good for you.
Thank you. I'm having the time of my life.
Oh, I'm sure you are. My goodness. I'm curious to know, is your family as involved in sci-fi as you are?
Certain members.
They look at you kind of weird and say, oh, Dad, not dumb show again.
Yes. My kids know me oh so well. My son is a big sci-fi fan and comics fan, and he is one of my consultants that I list in The Deliverer.
I saw I wondered, if he was related to you in some
Brian
way.
Brian Karp, yes, that's my son. And I must say that I am working hard to be a, quote, proper influence on my grandson, Mason. And Mason is totally into Star Wars. He knows about Star Trek. He knows about the shows that Grandpa watched, like Star Trek, when Grandpa was a little boy in the 1960s. So the tradition continues.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, I think that's pretty exciting, Jason. Do you have a next sci-fi project? And if so, can we get a sneak peek?
Absolutely.
As far as you're writing?
I'm currently writing. You bet. I'm currently writing a Christian sci-fi novella called Thin Flowers. And it takes place in a Minnesota farming town. A brilliant young plant geneticist, Dr. Macy Foster. She comes home to her small town after getting her doctorate and traveling the world on research. And she has developed a special genetically engineered sunflower that is designed to take up pollution from the soil, in this case nitrogen pollution from over-fertilization over the decades. And you were talking, Patty, about where I get my ideas. This sort of plant is known as a hyperaccumulator, and it is a real thing. Plants developed to, like sponges, soak up bad things in the soil.
Wow.
And it is a very noble cause, and she is brilliant. She's 30 years old, but she's going to come back to her small town to test this flower. Wouldn't you know, things don't just sit there. This flower starts behaving differently than she has planned. This flower, this sunflower growing to over 10 feet tall, takes up all the impurities of the land. And so the town's secrets are starting to come out. And how will you know? Look into the giant faces of the Sinflowers.
Oh, my goodness.
And what you will see there, what you will see there will change everything.
Wow.
So
that really sounds
so exciting. And again, and if folks out there are thinking, whoa, that sounds like the Twilight Zone, I say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I take that
exactly.
as a complete compliment.
Yes,
but
exactly.
So this is and it's a Christian story. Macy's brother Sean is a young pastor in town. He gets involved with trying to determine the mystery of the Sinflowers. Macy herself's a believer, and it's all about this supernatural power to expose secrets. Is it though godly or demonic? And it has come from Macy's scientific experimentation. So hence the whole idea of playing God leads to trouble. Well, it's happening in the story Sinflowers, and that's what I'm working on now.
Oh, that sounds really fascinating, Jason. I would look forward to that coming out. So you'll have to let me know when it does. What do you anticipate for a publication date for that story?
It'll be published sometime this year. This is inspiring me to get back to the keyboard and finish it.
Very good.
Because you asked what I'm working on now. It is definitely a work in progress. And I'm very excited about it. And after that, I plan to finish an anthology book of Christian sci-fi short stories that will be anchored by my award-nominated and already published story, Basilica Obscura.
Nice.
And, Patty, when I say I've been blessed, I mean it. This ministry has changed my life. I have years and years of ideas that I intend to write, and I so look forward to helping spread the gospel with this ministry and having other people find the joy I find.
It certainly is a unique means of spreading the gospel, Jason, and you are to be congratulated for taking that seed and running with it. It sounds like I almost wish I lived closer so I could do one of your sci-fi night meetings.
I'm working on ways of expanding, either me traveling or the right way of doing it remote. But I appreciate that.
With today's technology too, Jason, and with your knowledge, I'm sure that you could put something together as far as the online realm, because there's just so much opportunity out there anymore. My goodness, 90% of the meetings I go to now are online venues, you know? And it's kind of neat that you can connect with people all over the country and with your common interest, whatever that is, whether it be writing or whatever. So I'm sure that, yeah, there's something out there that you'll be able to put together with a minimum of problems, I would think.
Well, thank you. I'm definitely thinking about it, working on it, and enjoying it.
Well, Jason, this half hour, your subject is unique, and you definitely, of course, the premise of this show is stepping into the light out of darkness. And I think you have a ministry here that can do that very thing, that can reach people that you would not expect to reach with a Christian message through the venue that you have chosen. And I think that's just a wonderful thing to be championed. So thank you so much for spending time with us today and for all that you shared.
Thank you, Patty, and God bless your great ministry of light as well.
Thank you. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHEN.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the homepage. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a More Information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.